Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's daily devotional, Moments in the Word. But first, here's his message, What's So Amazing About Grace?
In the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, as we look, take a long look at the life and legacy of the Apostle Paul, a life unashamed, not ashamed, we're going to look at this subject. What's so amazing about grace? Paul was a man of grace. He had experienced grace. He's known as the apostle of grace. In fact, in all of his writings in the New Testament, speak of this grace over 100 times. It's grace and grace and more grace. And the fact that God's grace met him through Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, captured his heart, changed his life, he could never get over that incredible grace. Now, grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. Grace is the lavish love of Jesus poured out for us at the cross. This grace that is greater than all of our sin, God's abundant grace for abundant sinners. What's so amazing? Well, first, we are saved by grace. God's grace saves us. In Ephesians chapter 2, the first 10 verses, you have the clearest, most expressive summary of the gospel of grace that we see in all of the Bible, what it means to truly be saved. The word salvation or to be saved shows up in this verse on several occasions. Look, beginning at verse 1. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that is now work in the sons of disobedience, that's the world, among whom all we once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, all of us. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. We are saved by grace. This is a walk through a graveyard, if you will, because it covers our past, our present, and our future. It's the spiritual biography of every believer, someone who has received grace. It speaks of our past guilt, it speaks of our present grace, and it speaks of our future glory. Salvation covers it all. Past, present, and future. The Apostle Paul would often speak of salvation in three tenses. We were saved, past tense. We are being saved, present tense. And we will be saved, future tense. So you may wonder, well, what is it? Was I saved? Am I saved? Will I be saved? Well, it's all encompassing this salvation. We have been saved from the penalty of sin and the wrath of judgment. We are being saved from the power of sin, sin's sway, sin's shadow, sin's power over us. We are being saved as we grow in grace and develop in our Christian walk. We are being saved, made more and more like Christ. And then one day we will be saved when we stand complete before God. That's the glory when we all get to heaven who know the grace of God, and we will say, I am now saved. I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. It is this wonderful grace of God. Now, if someone asks you, are you saved? You might respond with something like this. From what? That's why Paul took the time to remind us of who we were, what we are apart from grace. That we are saved from sin and spiritual death and Satan and judgment and hell and flesh and the world. He says that we were dead, not just sick or stumbling, but dead in trespasses and sin. For the scripture says in Romans that the wages of sin is death. God is life. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And if you don't know Christ, if you don't know God's grace and experience God's love in your life, then you are disconnected from the love of God and therefore the life of God. And that's why there seems to be no purpose and no direction in your life, for you are just following after the direction of this world, walking deeper and deeper and deeper into sin and selfishness, into darkness and into death. You're like a spiritual zombie. You say, well, that's pretty extreme. I don't know that it was that bad. Yes, it's that bad. You say, well, I'm not as bad as some people. I don't do the things that some people do. All have sinned. All of us were born with our backs toward God. And we're following after the pleasures of this world. We're following after our own desires. We're in cahoots with Satan himself and his kingdom apart from God. But when we come to experience grace, God's gift of eternal life, we repent and receive this grace, which means we turn around. And now we have our face towards God and our back towards the world, and we're living in this brand new life empowered by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this all comes not because of anything that we have done, but only because of what God has done in Christ. This is what so many people don't understand about grace. That somehow human achievement or good works or good deeds will enable us to know and follow Christ or live the Christian life. There are really just two forms of religion in the world. There are the religions, world religions of human achievement. And frankly, if you put them all in the same bucket, every religion in the world is a system of human achievement. Even quote the Christian religion apart from the grace of God, trying to prove ourselves through our performance to please God, to do those things which would gain the acceptance of God. It could be baptism, church membership, it could be ritual, it could be a faith system, a belief, but it's all about me doing what I can do to gain the grace of God or the goodness of God. And human achievement fails. Paul realized that. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a religionist. He was a man who kept the law. And yet his heart was a raging fire, full of bitterness, full of anger, full of rage. Because his human achievement, the best that he could do, was not enough. The only other kind of faith in the world is the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is of divine accomplishment. Not what we have done, but only what He has done. The grace of God, the undeserved, unmerited favor of God upon us. And it is Jesus that makes this grace possible. The riches of His grace. The riches of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why grace is amazing. You cannot save yourself. You can never earn or deserve eternal life. It's all because of what He has done. Even our good enough, even our best in the eyes of a holy God is filthy rags. Not enough. This gift is received. This gift is offered. It is given. It is received by faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Surrendering our lives to Him and responding to His grace.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, What's So Amazing About Grace? If this past year has taught us anything, it's that daily time with the Lord is a lifeline of hope. Those special moments each day when you rest in God's presence and spend time in His Word are life-giving. That's why we want to help you walk closer with the Lord in 2021 by sending you Dr. Graham's 180-day devotional, Moments in the Word. This encouraging resource is our thanks for your gift today to help launch a new year of broadcasting the gospel to millions. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message. What's so amazing about grace?
But not only are we saved by grace, but we are secured by grace. Look again in Ephesians 2, verses 6 through 7. It says, "And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places." We now have a relationship with God. We are alive in Christ. We are seated with Christ positionally. Spiritually, we are in heaven already. We are as good for heaven as if we were already there. That in the coming ages, in other words, in eternity, from now on, forever and ever, we would show the exceeding kindness and richness of His grace toward us. This all speaks of our security in Christ. That what Christ has done in us in giving us His grace is for now, but it's also forever. And the same grace that saves us keeps us. You can't go in and out, in and out, in and out of grace. You can't fall out of grace, in and out of grace. In fact, every time I see someone falling in the Bible, I never see them falling out of grace. I see them always falling into grace. Because what God has done in grace can't be undone. It's forever. Therefore, we are secure. We are in His grip, His gracious grip. So when you come to Christ, when you receive God's grace, it's not as though God puts you on probation to see if you're going to make it. It's not a probation period between grace and heaven to see if you can hang on, hold on to the end. No. Grace, God's grace, covers it all. Every sin is forgiven. All sin, past, present, and future. If there's one half of one sin held against my account or yours, that sin would be enough to condemn us. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses from all our sin. And that means that we are all saved in the grace of God and kept saved. We are secure in Christ. This is the perseverance of grace. This is the perseverance and persistence of God in us. Paul would write in Philippians 1:6, "He who began the good work in you will perform it, carry it out until the day of Jesus Christ." Our position is in Christ. One of Paul's favorite descriptions of our relationship with God. We are now in Christ. And Christ is in us. We're secured by this grace. Every sin, every failure, every fault. You say, well, if I thought like that, if I believe that, then that's a dangerous thing because, I it just means I can go live any way I want to live. I'll party and have fun because God's grace has got all of that. If that's what you think, if that's what you say, you don't know the first thing about grace. Because God's grace changes us and calls us to a brand new life. Paul dealt with that question. He presumed that people would say, well, should I therefore sin so that grace could abound? He said, may it never be so. He used the hardest terms he could figure out. He said, no, never, never, no. May it never be so. But at the same time, this outrageous grace is available to all of us who are in Christ. And there's no sin or shame in your life, but that the grace of God is greater still. We are also strengthened by God's grace. Say, where's that? Well, he speaks of the riches of his grace there in verse 7, his kindness towards us, the immeasurable riches of his grace. You can't measure grace. Paul was often speaking of this abundant grace, surpassing grace, grace upon grace. It was grace and more grace, and this grace strengthens us. This grace empowers us. This grace is drenching our souls. This grace is running over us and through us, cascading through our life. And therefore, God's grace shapes us and changes us and corrects us and at times chastises us and gives us new personalities and new attitudes and new dispositions. We are changed by grace. We're strengthened to live this life by the same grace that we've been given. Grace is just, at salvation, just the beginning. Look at your Bibles in Titus 2 in your New Testament. Again, a letter of Paul in the New Testament. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. In other words, all people are invited to know God's grace in Jesus Christ. Everyone. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Now, grace is not earned, but there's so much more about grace to be learned, to be understood. And one of those things is that we learn, we are trained to live godly lives and holy lives by God's grace. Not by human effort, but by his work within us. We don't earn it, but we do learn it as we go. Here's what we learn as we go in grace. His grace is sufficient for anything we face in our lives. It's stronger, it's greater. We all face trials, we all face pain, we all face suffering, difficulty, tests, temptations in our lives. And you have to ask yourself the question when these storms come because of the fact that we live in a broken world, is grace enough? Is God's grace enough? Well, ask the Apostle Paul. Paul was beaten, imprisoned, shipwrecked, sick from time to time. He was on one occasion rocked with stones. And when that experience took place, he It may have been the occasion when he died or was near death, had one of those near-death experiences and was taken up, as he described it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, up into the third heaven, the heaven of heavens. And he said, I saw heaven. It's an amazing thing. So in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, he writes, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of his the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Notice that it wasn't from God, it came from Satan. Allowed by God, but it came from Satan. And so Paul prayed, like you and I would pray, God, take this away. Please, again, again, and again, three times he said in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. Is God enough? Is God's grace sufficient? When we face tests and temptations, struggles and suffering, Paul says, yes, his grace is sufficient, all sufficient for me. You think, if this happened, I don't think I can handle it. God's grace is available when you need it, always. You don't need that dying grace today, perhaps, when your moment is right in front of you. If you have received grace, grace will come flowing into your life. It's living grace, dying grace. And one more thing, it's serving grace. That's why in verse 10, Paul wrapped up this great passage by saying, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which the Lord has prepared before us to walk in them. Grace to serve. There are three prepositions that we could point out in Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. We are saved by grace, through faith, for good works. So are there works involved in God's grace? Yes, but they come because of salvation and for salvation expressed through us. God has given you grace to serve him. Grace is to be given away. We ought to be gracious because of grace. Be gracious to your husband. Be gracious to your wife. Be gracious to your children. Be gracious to your neighbors. Be gracious to your co-workers. Be gracious to your friends. Why? We have experienced this grace ourselves. People all around us need God's grace. Some people don't think they need grace. Either they think they're too good or just don't need it because of their own egos and arrogance. And God will just hold you off if you think you don't need it. But if you will humble yourself and say, anything that I am, all that I hope to be, is because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you humble yourself, you will have grace upon grace upon grace for your life.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, What's So Amazing About Grace? What's the wisest, kindest thing you could do for yourself this year? The answer is stop relying on yourself for strength and endurance, and instead look to God each day as your lifeline of hope and joy. We want to help you do that by sending you Dr. Graham's 180-day devotional, Moments in the Word. This practical, easy-to-use devotional helps you connect with God each day so you can be refreshed in His presence and rely on His Word for guidance and comfort. Get your copy of Moments in the Word when you call and give to help launch a new year of broadcasting the gospel to millions. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
The Bible tells us that our life without Jesus Christ is a zombie life. It is a lifeless life. And we are, according to Ephesians, dead in our trespasses and sins. There's no life and no light without Christ. This is what we call being spiritually dead, and that's why we need to be made alive in Christ. When we invite Jesus into our lives, He brings our dead souls, our souls that are separated from God, back to life. And not only for this life, but for the life to come, for all eternity. And this is why God provides amazing grace. Jesus came and lived and died and rose again so that we can have spiritual life. And He then offers us the gift of the forgiveness of sin, eternal life, hope today, tomorrow, and forever. We have been, according to the Bible, born again, made alive into a new and living hope. I encourage you today, if you don't know Christ, to invite Him into your life right now. If you're somewhere where you can drop to your knees, do that and pray. If you're driving down the road, open your eyes and open your heart and pray and receive Christ right now. Pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I have sinned and broken your commandments, but I invite you to come into my life. Make me alive again. Give me new life. I want to be born again. Thank you for loving me, dying on the cross for my sins, and rising that I might have eternal life. I do trust you as my Savior, my Lord, my Master, and my friend. And if you will pray and receive Christ right now, we have materials that we would love to send you. Just go to jackgraham.org or powerpoint.org and request new believer materials. We would love to help you get going and moving forward in your Christian life as you begin again in Jesus Christ.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Today, if you prayed that prayer with Dr. Graham and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'd love to hear from you so we can help you begin your new life with Christ. Please call us at 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about what it takes for you to walk boldly with Christ. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.